And Alyssa did a great job. I tell you what, high-risk pregnancy mom taking a bunch of kids to children's camp, I think we need to give her a hand. She did an amazing job. That children's camp is probably one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life. When I got to where I couldn't go anymore, I was very, very unhappy about that. Because that camp is just a blessing. They do an amazing job. The people that run that camp do an amazing job. The guy that actually runs it that week is the children's minister at First Baptist Church in Arlington, longtime friend of Andrea and I's. And their pastor preaches at that camp. And like Alyssa said, he does an amazing job of getting down to their level and helping them understand the gospel. And so it's just it's an amazing experience for these children. And I tell you, one of the coolest things is this. You can't stay where you're at and be involved in what God is doing. In order for you to be involved in what God is doing, you have to make major adjustments in your life. Because God's always working around us, but you and I, we will miss it if we are stuck to our schedules. And there's things that we have in life and we're just like, well, you know what, man, I got to do that. I can't miss that. One parent rearranged his whole work schedule to be there, and one of his boys got saved. And another set of parents said, you know what, that's vacation for us, but we'll push it out so we can go and minister to these children, and their son got saved. And so when you and I begin to allow God to be God over our lives and over our schedules, that's when we begin to see Him at work. And that's what happened at children's camp, and I'm excited. And you know, we're going to Alaska next week. I need prayer. I'm preaching 10 times in 1 week to 6th and 7th graders. It's easy preaching to y'all. But I'm preaching 10 times to 6th and 7th graders. So Matt's going to lead worship. I'm taking him. I don't think I really gave him a choice. Matt, you got to go with me to lead worship to this deal. Ryan's going to be there drumming. And then Courtney Green and Andrea are going, but they're being counselors. And so Alaska is not like going to camp in Texas. Over 50% of these children do not know the Lord. And a lot of them don't want to know Him, just to be honest with you. It's a tough gig. And so those ladies are going to really need your prayers. I think Jake, Ryan, Courtney, Andrea, Janessa, Victoria, there's several different people going, and then we're taking a group to continue doing some renovations on a house that some of their people live in that work there year-round. And so thank you for praying for children's camp. Thank you to those of you that some of you gave so that children could go to camp, so that a kid wouldn't be left behind because they couldn't afford it. Some of you have done the same thing for Alaska. Some of you have done the same thing for Student Life Camp, and so thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Well, happy Father's Day. And if you're a dad, this sermon is for you. If you're a dad, it's actually for all of us. But I will say this. If you're a dad, you need to take really good notes this morning, because if I could take anything out of the Bible that I would want to teach my kids, it would be Romans 12:1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. How to live the Christian life, right? That's what we want to teach our families, right? And if you're a dad or you're a husband, you've been called by God to be the spiritual leader of your home. Do not leave that to your wife. You'll end up regretting it later on down the road. So if you're a dad, you be the leader. It may be tough. I get it that you didn't grow up in that world. Your dad wasn't the spiritual leader in your home. I get all that. But you know what? Step up to the plate and become the spiritual leader in your home. Get in God's Word on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Spend time talking to the Lord, walking with the Lord. Learn what that looks like. We're going to look at it here today. But I'm telling you, what I'm about to share with you, you do not want to miss. You want to make sure that you get this, because you'll want to make sure that your kids get this. You'll want to make sure that your grandchildren one day get what we're about to talk about this morning. All right, chapter 12. Paul moves from explaining the gospel in chapters 1 through 11, explaining the future of Israel in 9, 10, and 11. And now he moves into this more of a practical sense of what it means to live the Christian life. What the Christian life should look like is what Paul's talking about. And we're only going to get through one verse today. That's all I had time for today. But we're going to look at some awesome things from Scripture this morning. So let's begin in Romans chapter 12 with verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, a better translation is actually, if it were to say, which is your practical service of worship. Literally, when you look at that word in the original language, it means practical, even more than spiritual. And so that's even a better translation, and that's what we're going to look at today. Practically speaking, what should the Christian life look like? What is it all about? And so the Apostle Paul, again, has spent the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans outlining in great detail the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it affects all of our lives. And now Paul is about to explain how to live the Christian life. And the word therefore that verse 1 starts with starts a new chapter, and it shows that Paul is switching gears and is about to explain what it means to live for Christ in light of this knowledge that we now have concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in chapters 1 through 11, Paul explains this. Don't miss this. Make sure you write this down in your notes. Number one, we are saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. Whenever you move away from that, you move away from the gospel. Whenever you change that it's not by grace alone, you've moved away from the gospel. That it's not by faith alone in Christ alone, you've moved away from the gospel. So that's one of the most important things we can understand right here in point number one. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay, look back at verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, I urge you, brothers. Now, I'm reading from the NIV this time, and I think I put this in your notes. I urge you, brothers. In other words, those of you that are followers in Christ, in view of God's mercy, circle that in your notes. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, Paul is saying, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's grace, give yourselves completely to God. In other words, now that you understand grace, now that you're living under grace and with God's grace in mind, in the forefront of your mind, give yourself completely to the Lord. And so let's take a look, let's take a moment and look at grace. Because until you really understand grace, this is important to understand about living the Christian life. And this is why you want your kids to understand this. Until you really understand grace, your motive for living the Christian life will be messed up. Until you really understand grace and understand what it means to live in grace, your motive for living and serving the Lord will be messed up. And when your motive's messed up, you will continually give up. And you won't understand, why can't I consistently walk with the Lord? Why is spending time in God's Word such a struggle for me? Why can't I seem to consistently be in God's Word and live for God like I see other people live for God. To illustrate this, I have brought a paper doll with me. You can tell I'm getting ready to teach 6th and 7th graders, right? To illustrate this morning, I've brought a paper doll, and we're going to let the paper doll represent me, okay? And we'll let the Bible, the Word of God, represent Christ Jesus, who is the Word in flesh. Amen? John chapter 1, right? Okay? So who's the paper doll represent? Me. Exactly. Who's the Bible represent? All right. You guys have had your coffee. You're ready to go. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, look in your notes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Through faith in what? Jesus Christ. "And that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, I've put it in another, this is so crucial that we understand this, I've also put the English version in your notes. "For it is by God's grace that you've been saved through faith in Christ Jesus. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can brag about it." But what exactly is God's grace? This is God's grace. Now, there's different definitions. I even have several myself. But I want to give you one this morning that I really want you to hold on to. Grace is how God sees you when you are in Christ. Grace is how God sees you when you trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Grace is how God sees you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now notice, the Bible says that you've been saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And notice also that it's a gift. Your salvation is a gift from God. It is not the result of your own efforts. And so grace is something that you don't deserve. Grace is something that you don't earn. It's given to you, the Bible says, freely by God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26, there in your notes, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And then in Ephesians 2:13, "But now you have been united with Jesus Christ." In other words, you are in Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. And so you find this phrase, "in Christ," throughout the New Testament. It is That little phrase, "in Christ," is all over the New Testament. And grace is only possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. In other words, grace is only possible because of the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13 says. So now let's look back to our statement about grace. About grace being how God sees you when you are in Christ. Okay, everybody look at me. That's me, right? Everybody look at me. If I were to take this paper doll and make some tears in it representing the mistakes I've made, the poor decisions I made, I just about tore his head off right there, the people I've hurt, the trouble I've been in, the trouble I've caused, the messes I've been in, the lies I've told, the rules I've broken, on and on and on. I could go on and on and on until there wasn't a paper doll even left. Okay? I would have one messed up paper doll. I would have one really, really torn up paper doll, and so would you. If I were to put on this screen everything you've ever thought, said, or done, you would crawl out of here as fast as you could. And I would probably beat you to the door. That's all of us. So if you put on all the things that we've said, thought, and done that have been wrong, that have been hurtful, that have been painful, you have one really messed up paper doll. But when I believe in Jesus Christ, when I believe in the person of Jesus Christ, when I believe that, and when I say that, the person of Christ, I mean that He is God in the flesh who came to this earth to die for me. When I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and I put my faith in Christ's work, the work of Christ, that He died on the cross, that His blood washes my sins away, that He rose from the dead on the third day, defeating death and defeating Satan once and for all. When I believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ on my behalf, God takes me and He puts me in Christ. God does something I could never do for myself. And you'll have to forgive me, because the older I get, the more I understand grace. One guy told me last week he's going to buy me a handkerchief to keep in my pocket. But the more I understand grace, the harder it is to hold it together when I talk about grace. And when I talk about what Christ has done for me. And what I want you to see is that because of the grace of God, even though I've done a lot of bad things in my life, now, because I've put my faith in Christ alone, when God sees me, He no longer sees a sinner. He sees Jesus Christ. He no longer sees a sinner, He sees a saint. Because He's looking at the perfection and the holiness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's grace. God did something for me that I could have never done for myself. When Jesus died on the cross for me, the Bible says He made all my sins go away. And now when God looks at me, He sees a saint. He sees someone without sin, because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so when I put my faith in Christ, God literally takes me, just like I did this paper doll. Turn back over here to Romans 12. When I put my faith in Christ, God literally takes me and He hides me in Christ. That's grace. And that's what salvation looks like. That's what salvation is. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because I could never deserve this. And I could never earn this. It came through the blood of my Savior that was spilt on the cross. My justification, my right standing with God, is a free gift of God. Listen, all I did was receive it by faith. All I did was receive it by faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says in John 1:12 in your notes, yet to all who received Him, and to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Which leads us to point number two this morning in your notes. And again, you want to make sure your children get this. Grace is when God looks at me and no longer sees a sinner, but sees a saint because I'm in Christ. Grace is when God looks at me and no longer sees a sinner, but He sees a saint because I'm in Christ. And this grace that is given to me as a free gift, listen to this. This is important that you understand this. This grace that is given to me as a free gift extends all the way into eternity. In other words, as Paul explained in Romans chapter 8, the believer cannot lose his favor with God. The believer cannot lose his position with God. The believer cannot lose his or her salvation because it's not dependent upon the believer's efforts, but on the grace of God. Amen? Look at Romans 11, 6 in your notes. And if by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. And so this is super important to understand, because if a Christian could lose his or her salvation, what's the motive for living the Christian life? Fear. If I can lose my salvation, fear is the primary motive for obedience, and fear is the primary motive for serving God. And fear-based obedience is always short-lived. Fear is very draining. It's exhausting. It can get you to do amazing things in the short term, right? I remember that boys dean at Lamar High School that had that huge paddle. And that dude could get me to turn around in a hurry in the short term. But like he said to me one day, Irvin, you're going to be back down here before long. You're going to be back in my office before long. And so eventually you become exhausted. You become exhausted of living in fear. And after a while, people get tired of living in fear and they become apathetic. And so fear-based obedience also tends to make people struggle with repentance. Repentance is not a sweet thing if you're living in fear, like it is for those who live in grace. People who live the Christian life based on fear of losing their salvation, they never know where this line is that they might cross one day and then lose their salvation or lose favor with God. And therefore, repenting of sin is not this sweet experience like it is for those of us that live in grace. People who live in fear, listen, people who live in fear always find ways to rationalize their sin and or blame other people. Whereas the person who understands salvation by grace receives joy and energy from knowing that they are freely forgiven because they are in Christ. And therefore, repentance is a sweet experience for them. Point number three. We live in obedience to God because we have been saved by grace, not to be saved or to stay saved. We live in obedience to God because we have been saved by grace, not to be saved or to stay saved. Put another way, the only effective long-term motivation for living in obedience to God is gratitude for grace. Teach your kids what grace looks like and teach them to thank God for it every day by following your example. Let them see you thanking God, praising God, and talking about the grace of God every day. And be an example to them. Being grateful for grace will always carry us much farther in life, in living the Christian life, than living in fear of punishment. And so as believers, we don't ever want to let our obedience or our service to God become an attempt to replace grace with our own works. We don't ever want to live the Christian life in hopes that our efforts will somehow make us okay with God, because when we do, the Bible says grace is no longer grace. Remember what Paul said in Romans 11, 6. If it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And I don't know about you, but the last thing I ever want to do in this life is try to replace what Jesus did on the cross with my own efforts. To me, that's the quickest way to failure. That's the quickest way to burnout that you could ever possibly think of. But that's what people do. A lot of times, we do it and we don't even realize we're doing it. And then we wonder why we've lost our motivation to live for God. We wonder why we've lost our motivation to love Jesus and live for Jesus. And so Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18 in your notes, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him be the glory both now and the day and to the day of eternity. Amen. And so Peter is saying we need to grow in our understanding of the grace of God, because the more we understand and live in grace, the more success we're going to have in living the Christian life. And this is what Paul is telling us to do in Romans 12:1. First, Paul says, look back at verse 1. First of all, he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And Paul was obviously thinking of this Old Testament worshiper that came to the temple to offer sacrifices. And one of the Old Testament offerings was this sin offering, in which the worshiper would go in, shed the blood of the animal, and then ask forgiveness for his sins. But the New Testament teaches us that Jesus Christ has become our sin offering. Amen? He has become our sin offering when He shed His blood on the cross for our sins. In fact, that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Therefore, Paul is probably more likely talking about this. Listen to this closely. He's talking about this whole burnt offering. And this is where you offer the most valuable animal in your flock, without any defect and without any blemish. Now, why would God ask for the most expensive animal you owned? Because it's a reminder, it's a regular reminder that everything you have, the Bible says, is from God. Everything you have is from God, and He has sacrificed everything He has for you. Therefore, you do not give God your leftovers after what He's given you. And that's why when I read that the average Christian family attends church, the average Christian family attends church 1.6 times a month, it grieves my heart, because I fear that the people of God are giving God their leftovers. And God is never pleased with leftovers. And to be a living sacrifice means to offer yourself fully to God. It means your life is at His full disposal. It means He comes before your work, before your play, and even before your family. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. It's the way I raised my family. And you know what? When your kids are older, they'll thank you for it. Thank you, Dad. I'll never forget driving out of my driveway. Becky calls me, so I stop so I can have service at the end of my driveway. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And she said, you got to forgive me, because this is the dream come true. She said, Dad, I want to thank you and Mom, because when I left home and I got out on my own, living for Jesus was easy. And I said, why? And she said, because it was so real to you and Mom. It was just natural and automatic for me to continue living for Jesus. And so this living sacrifice means that we offer ourselves fully to God. I love what one commentator says. He says, and I think I put this in your notes, Paul is saying that God does not want a purely inward or abstract worship, but a practical and total one. He wants us to give Him everything we do. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. It means to give God everything you do. It's not a one-time deal, and then you just go on and go to heaven one day. You don't just say a prayer when you're 12 and then go live your life however you want to live it, and then just stroll into heaven one day. A living sacrifice is a daily thing. It's a daily surrender. Put another way, God doesn't just want us to come in here and sing songs and agree with sermons. He wants us to go out of here and live for Him in every area of our lives. He wants to be first in our families. When my children were little, they'd stop me and say, okay, Dad, let me see if I understand this. You love Jesus more than Mom. And I'd say, yes, sir, that's right. You love Jesus more than me. And I'd say, yes, sir, that's right. And you know what that did? It built incredible security into their little lives. They had a rock-solid foundation to grow up on. And I don't know why they always stopped me when they were in the bath for some reason. I guess that's where you do your thinking or something. But I'd be walking by, and one of them would be in the bathtub, and they'd stop me and ask me that. And Jesus, He wants us to live for Him in every area. He wants to be first in our families. He wants to be first in our finances. He wants to be first in our fun. He wants to be first in our future plans. And being first means that you come before everything else in life. Bottom line, He wants to be first in every area of your life. He wants to come before everything else in your life. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Jesus comes before your job, before your hobby, before your playtime, even before your family. That's what it means to come first. That's what it means. It means to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And that's what living the Christian life is all about. Being so grateful for this amazing grace that God has done in your life that you could never do for yourself. That you are now in Christ because of Christ's sacrifice. Being so grateful for that amazing grace that you offer the very best you have back to God and for His glory. And the word living here means that it's ongoing. It means it's ongoing and it means it's regular. It's an ongoing, regular sacrifice. And the word holy implies that your life is completely set apart for the cause and the glory of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus told all who wished to follow Him in Luke chapter 9. And He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he will be the one who will save it. And so living the Christian life, in closing this morning, means daily surrendering our lives and our bodies to Jesus Christ in obedience to His perfect will. It means complete surrendering of our whole heart to Christ on a daily basis. Have you done that? Have you completely surrendered every area of your life? Have you completely committed your heart to the cause and the glory of Jesus Christ? You can only do this when you understand God's grace and live in God's amazing grace. You see, when God looks at me because of the sacrifice of His Son, now He sees a saint, not a sinner. I've been set free from the power of sin and death, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this verse. It's one of my life verses. And I want you to see what God does for the person that makes the decision to give their heart completely to Him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth so that He may strengthen or strongly support those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Those whose hearts are completely His, the Bible says. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what? I know I'm a believer, but there's some areas in my life I need to let God be God. There's some areas in my life that I need to surrender back to God and I need to learn what it means to do that on a daily basis, on a regular basis. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. and we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that in your word is truth, truth that we need, and we thank you for this amazing gift of grace. And Lord Jesus, help us to understand grace so that we can live in it, bask in it, teach it to others, and just be set free by it. Maybe you're here today and you've walked in here and you look like this paper doll that I tore up. And that's where you're at in life. And maybe today you would just say, you know what, I need the grace of God. I need to know that I'm in Christ. I need to know that I'm hidden in Christ and that all my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can do that right now by saying a simple prayer somewhat like this. And these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are God. And I believe that you love me so much you couldn't bear the thought of spending eternity without me. And so you came to this earth, you lived a perfect life, and you died on the cross for my sins. But you also rose on the third day, defeating Satan and defeating death once and for all, giving everyone eternal life who believes in you and you alone for salvation. And so today I put my trust and my faith in you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I've been playing God for a long time and it's wearing me out. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to get out of the driver's seat and get in the passenger seat and let you drive. Let you be the leader of my life. And I want you to be my Savior. I want to know that my sins are forgiven and that I've been saved from my sins and I have eternal life. And so today, I invite you to live in my heart as the Lord of my life. And I invite you to help me to learn how to live and how to surrender to you on a daily basis so that I can just live in freedom of all these burdens and let you guide my life from here on out. Friend, if you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says now you're a child of God. The Bible says now you're a Christian and you have eternal life. And so I want to encourage you this morning to share that with someone who can help you begin to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ, can help you get in the Word of God, and I'd be happy to do that. But make sure you share that with someone this morning. And maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know what? I know I'm a believer, but I've got some things I need to surrender. I've got some things that over time, over the years, I've taken back and I've taken control of. And I've been running this and I've been running that. And I need to surrender those things to God. And I need Christ to just be before all that. I need Him to be before anything else in my life. Maybe today you'd say a prayer somewhat like this. Lord Jesus, I know that to be Lord means that you're over everything. And I thank you for saving me way back whenever. But I need to re-surrender my life to you. I need to let go of some things that I've been running and taking control of, and I just need to let you be God, and I just want to do that right now. I just want to surrender those things to you and let you be God again. In Jesus' name, amen.